Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 5 of Coffee Talk. I am Adam.
And I'm Brian.
And today, our topic is technology, and specifically the advances of technology in our lives and the pros and cons that come with that.
Mm-hmm.
So starting off with, obviously, smartphones. They're a pretty much essential part of our lives.
Right.
Nowadays, you don't see really anyone under the age of 25 without a smartphone, or if you do,
they're a freak.
They I don't know what planet they live on.
Right.
But to start off with smartphones, obviously a lot of good has come from them. One of the main things is that it's given you access to pretty much everything, because, I mean, you can connect to the internet.
Mm-hmm.
You have all sorts of apps that can do stuff.
Right.
So I guess to start off with, first of all, general thoughts on smartphones and the way they've affected everyday life now.
Okay, so there's so much to say about this. So I think nowadays everybody has a smartphone, and a lot of us are on it so much that it can be hard to imagine life without them, when in reality they got along just fine for how long was the phone around for, the landline, before?
Oh.
Like 100 years?
Yeah, something like that. Something crazy.
Since Alexander Graham Bell invented the first telephone, people got along just fine. And I would argue probably that most people were, I'd almost say, happier before the smartphone came out, because – I personally remember before I had a smartphone, when I had my little flip phone,
yeah,
I was hardly ever on it, but I feel like my time was a lot more free.
Yeah.
I could actually focus on stuff better. With your phone, there's a lot of pros to having it. Obviously, there's apps that simplify your life, and like you said, you can reach the internet, you can connect with people much quicker than you could when you had to go home and make a phone call, you know, just to talk to somebody and hope they were there to answer.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I would argue almost that life would be – like, I'll just say it right now. My girlfriend and I have discussed possibly both trying out getting an old-style flip phone just to test it and see how it works for a little bit and see how life
no
goes.
No texting, cold turkey.
Well, we'd still text, but it would be like the whole push A 3 times to get to C, you know, and push D just to test. Not saying we're going to completely jump into the Stone Age.
That's a bold move.
Yeah, hey, you know – if it improves quality of life, you know, might be
worth it. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and I remember, obviously, we're both in our mid-20s. We remember the time before smartphones, before, you know, everything was connected to the internet. Now, I mean, heck, we have TVs now that connect to the internet, the smart TVs.
Basically giant computers at this point.
Yeah, and, you know, we have more processing power in our little phones than they had, you know, in the 60s with the whole room full of servers.
Right.
And I mean, again, there's pros and cons to all that, where I do think it's helped, I would say, almost organize people a little bit better, where it's like, you know, you almost have no excuse now to say you missed an appointment or you forgot to write something down, because it's like, you know, you have your notepad on your phone, you have your calendar with reminders and stuff, you have an alarm.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's all right there. So it's definitely one of those things where if you say, I forgot something, it's like, well, did you shut off your phone? I mean, that's usually the first thing people ask you, is your phone not working?
Right, right.
And again, it's like you said, it's convenient to have that. So if there's an emergency, you can call someone right away, as opposed to having to look for a phone. You can look something up instantly. Like, I know one of the things that's helped me is with shopping. You know, you can easily compare prices right where you are. Like, if something comes up and you need to possibly make a quick purchase on something important, you can look up reviews on products right then and there.
Yep.
You can see, okay, where can I get it the cheapest? Yeah, like, there'll be times where I'll see a book or something and be like, can I get it cheaper on Amazon? Can I get it cheaper on Barnes & Noble?
Right, or a product, and you're like, I want to see if this worked for other people before I decide to buy it myself. And you can look
exactly, up. Yeah, yeah. So I think that's definitely a big pro to that. I will say, with all this connectivity, and I know I'm definitely not the first person to say that, to kind of what you alluded to, with we may be distant now more than ever with the ways in which we are connected. You know, you have people texting rather than talking, just messaging as opposed to face-to-face interaction. stuff like that. So just to get a little bit into that, what do you, how much do you think smartphones and just social media in general has contributed to the overall, I guess the best way to put it is anti-social nature of our society now, or distant?
I don't know. I think that there, for some reason that I don't really know, there's a certain, like, draw and excitement to getting a text message on your phone. Would you agree?
Yeah. No, I agree.
And whenever you see somebody, like, if you see your friend and you're like, hey, what's going on? It's almost like when you're talking to your friend, you get a text, you would rather take a second to check that text than continue talking to your friend. Why is that when the person that's texting you isn't actually there? Yeah. Like, I think it's some kind of weird draw.
Yeah.
And I don't really know why it has that effect on the brain, but I think that's a huge, I mean, people become so immersed, myself included, definitely. I've had to, like, set boundaries for myself for my phone because, you know, sometimes I just get carried away. But being immersed, like, in a texting conversation, you know, you could be, you know, looking down at your phone, literally texting nonstop for 15, 20, 30 minutes before you realize that time has passed.
Right.
And I just think the lack, I mean, social skills, like anything, it's a skill, you know, yeah. Social skills. If you're not practicing that, and if you're more spending more time on a digital device than you are actually talking to people, then that skill is going to, you know, you're going to kind of lose that skill over time, I think. Yeah. So I just think as a society as a whole, we've been spending so much time on our phones that, and also a lot of stuff on phones, sorry, I'm kind of just getting on the weeds a little bit here, but I think a lot of stuff on phones can almost, like we talked about in the media, can start to numb you to stuff, and you start to kind of, like, you, I think some people almost see their life in their yeah. phone, you know, like they see their life in their Snapchat story or their Facebook yeah. posts, and people, like, I mean, people make money off that stuff,
yeah. you know,
the stuff they post on social media. And I think social media kind of pushes or what we talked about is how it kind of numbs people to the reality of certain situations. And I think that happens with the phone too. You kind of just kind of start to lose, you become so interested in it that you kind of start to care less about everything else.
Yeah. And I definitely agree with everything you said there. And especially for me, I think to go with the social side of things, I think with texting and all that, the art of conversation has lessened where you have people, I think, that they're not as apt to pick up social cues, you know. So you have more, I think, social awkwardness in general. You have people that almost, I think, some cases feel uncomfortable being around people face to face because they're so used to being, you know, on that, I guess, cyberspace of, I can text you, I don't have to see you, I don't have to make eye contact with you. I can just send my text and wait for you to respond, sort of thing, as opposed to where, obviously, a face-to-face conversation, in theory, it should be more engaging, where, you know, you're bouncing off of each other, as opposed to, here's my conversation, and then wait for a response. And then with that also, trying to think of the word to go along with your instant gratification feel. I mean, I remember listening to a sermon by Pastor Levi Lusco, and he mentioned a thing that people are starting to call phantom vibrations, where you are so used to getting that, you know, sensation from your phone that your brain starts to feel it even when it hasn't happened. Like, I mean, I can admit to where I've had that. Where, you know, you think you hear or feel a vibration, you whip out your phone thinking, oh, someone texted me, and then
nothing's there.
There's nothing there.
Uh-huh.
And so you train your brain to the point of that, I need to get that, you know, that sensation again.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like a drug kind of a thing. And I highly recommend, if anyone's interested in this topic, read Pastor Craig Rochelle's book, #Struggles. It talks all about social media, how it's influenced our lives and all that. And one of the things he talks about is how with social media and text messaging too, I think this kind of goes hand in hand. You have this instant gratification mentality that's developed where when think about, I mean, think about whenever you text someone, they don't text back immediately. Don't you have that little instant, almost frustration of like,
yeah, after a few minutes, you're like, hey, what's taking you so long?
Yeah, you know, didn't you see my text?
Yeah, right.
Or when you put something out on Facebook or whatever, like, I remember in his book, I can't remember specifics, but he has quotes from people in there who were like, they were having their moods affected by not getting a certain amount of likes on a Facebook post. Hmm. And I think that definitely has permeated our culture where you have people carrying that over into relationships where, you know, oh, my significant other didn't immediately, you know, kiss me on the cheek or didn't immediately compliment me on my appearance or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately they experience that frustration again where it's like, why am I not feeling that instant gratification? Or think about Amazon, you know, how many dollars are people willing to pay for Prime? That's like, what, $100 a year?
Something like, yeah,
something,
right.
Something, you know, like that, just so that they don't have to wait more than 2 days for
a package.
A package. And I mean, and I'm right there with you where it's like, I don't have Prime, so I usually, you know, get mine within the next, you know, 3 or 4 business days in most cases. But it's like, I'll be checking my phone constantly, getting those updates of, where's my package now? Where's my package now? Oh, it's delivered. I have to go check my mailbox when I get home.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of a thing. So just that instant gratification mentality. But anything you wanted to add with that?
Well, to piggyback off one thing that you said about the conversation of, like, sending a text message and waiting on a response, one of our guys in our group, Nathan, talked about how he actually has gone on dates with girls who, you know, if a problem arose, he'd want to talk to them about it either over the phone or in person, and they'd be like, oh, no, I'm busy, and then text him about the problem because they were more comfortable texting.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's harder to convey tone. You can't convey tone. How many times have we ticked somebody off or been ticked off by a text message sent that seemed angry or seemed to be sent a certain way that wasn't intended to be interpreted like that? And then there was something else I was going to touch on that you mentioned, but I can't remember what that one was. What was the last thing that you said?
Instant gratification mentality. Trying to think. Just art of being able to talk face-to-face. I know another thing kind of to go off of the face-to-face thing or even just talking in person. I think texting has also lessened people's vocabulary a little bit. I mean, not saying that anyone texts is dumb or anything, because I text a ton, so
I'm not
going to sit here and say that I'm well-spoken because I somehow don't text more than other people. That's a complete fabrication.
Right, right.
But I think that's where, like, you know, instead of, because I do think a lot of that comes from, you know, reading books, reading well-written articles or magazines, what have you, or listening to good speakers,
mm-hmm.
Things like that. I think that's been, again, lost because, I abbreviate in text. I say LOL or sometimes if I'm in a big hurry, instead of saying, spelling out you're welcome, I'll just say YR,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're welcome. Something like that. And I think that has been, that's affected our society. Again, I definitely think, especially towards, like, teenagers and younger people who have grown up with this as opposed to, you know, guys like people like us who are, you know, mid-20s, late 20s, early 30s, who we're familiar with the technology, but we didn't grow up in it.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely think that's been a byproduct.
I would agree with that 100%. And I remembered what I was going to say is that whenever you're on, like, I've been around on my phone a lot with family members or friends, and this is more in the past because I used to be really bad about it. And it got to the point where I'd be on my phone and completely ignore what they were saying to me.
Same here.
And I've even done it with my girlfriend at one point, not recently. But it's, I mean, it really is a sad point that it comes to that, though, to where, you know, someone's talking to you and you're having a conversation, unless it's something important, you know, they'll understand if you need to send a quick text. But if you're just kind of looking at your phone, texting regularly during the conversation to the point where you're literally just kind of drowning out what they're saying and then pretending like you heard what they said or are actually acknowledging what they say. I used to be really bad about that. I've tried to make a big effort to improve on it, but I just think that is something that comes with the phone, being on it way too much as well.
No, I agree, and it's one of those things where I've got to be honest, I'm trying to work on right now myself, because there have been times I've been called out, especially by my family, where it's like, hey, get off your phone, we're talking. And I need to do a better job about that, so I admit right here in public, it's something I'm working on.
Right.
And, I mean, it's definitely true, because think about it, when you get up in the morning, usually what's the first thing you do?
You check your phone.
Yeah, you check on your
phone. It's your alarm clock 9 times out of 10.
Exactly. So you hit snooze, and then you start flipping through messages, Snapchat, Facebook, whatever. Did you have anything else on the social aspect you wanted to touch on before we kind of shift gears a little bit?
I think I ran it into the ground.
Yeah. Man, we're going to sound like a couple of cranky old guys. You kids and your smarty phones. I remember we had to rotate everything to get, you know, the number dialed or talk to someone just to talk to someone.
Right, right.
But I want to now shift gears a little bit and talk more about the accessibility in terms of, you know, being able to connect to the internet, apps, social media, stuff like that, where I guess in general, what are your thoughts overall on accessibility and what it's done for our lives? Just being able to, there's an infinite amount of information out there that we can consume as much as we want.
Mm-hmm. I think it's really dangerous, to be honest, and I don't really think it's a good thing. I think it's good to have access to certain things like the news, honest news, if you can find it out there. It's hard to come by, but it's out there.
You gotta dig.
Yeah, but I think especially for the younger generations, I know friends, and I haven't personally visited websites like these because this stuff has never interested me, but there's websites out there with people actually getting like murdered and like tortured on video, and it gets posted on the internet for entertainment. It's real stuff.
Yeah.
And then, and I think a huge thing for kids, the accessibility to pornography at a very young age, and it's really damaging to the brain, and it affects relationships. I go on all day about this one. I mean, there's so many. I think that's a huge one because pornography is so rampant on the internet right now. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I don't know what the exact statistics are right now, but
I'm sure they're staggering.
It's crazy. It's like 3 out of every like 5 searches are for porn or something like that. So it is something staggering, like you said, but to have your mind molded by that and your sexuality affected by that at such a young age. And especially if it takes root, you know, then it could affect you into your adulthood and into your relationships. And, and to be 100% honest, the accessibility you were talking about, I would say that is the number one biggest issue that I take with the accessibility of phones. So I think just having, like anything, healthy boundaries to monitor, you know, as adults also and kids, to monitor what you have access to and what you allow yourself to access on your phone is important because, like we said, I mean, iPhones, you know, they can do a lot of good, and they do a lot of good, but they can also do a lot of damage if you're getting into the wrong stuff on them.
Yeah.
That's all I have on that.
Yeah, and for me, I fall a little bit similar. I do think it's good because it gives people a chance to get out there and search information for themselves. Whether they do that or not is up to them, but at least they have the option where as opposed, it's much easier to find information, whereas, like, you know, it used to be you had to go to the library, you had to understand the Dewey Decimal System, you had to ask someone for help usually, you had to find a book and then hope you could understand and like the author's, writing style, whereas, you know, now you can just Google something, scroll through some articles, and find, you know, one that fits your taste but also has good information. The problem with that is the information itself, I think, with accessibility and internet and all that has allowed for more misinformation now more than ever, just to be thrown in the faces. Because it's like, you know, there are so many times where we hear of stories trending and stuff like that, and then it turns out that 99% of it wasn't true.
Right. Like when you hear your friends say, did you guys hear what happened? And it's completely false, and they got it off of Facebook, and you want to slap it because you know it was completely, like, a false story. Yeah.
Well, there was a thing a few years ago where, as a joke, someone posted a picture of Steven Spielberg on the set of Jurassic Park in front of the Triceratops prop, you know, the life-sized one that moves. You know where I'm going with this. The guy made a joke how Steven Spielberg killed an extinct species or endangered species or whatever, and people were actually outraged. Like, people were, you know, starting campaigns to boycott his next movie and stuff like that, and it's like, you people do realize he's standing in front of a dinosaur that's been that's not real, and is a species that's been extinct for however many thousands, billions of years. What are you mad about? And it like, there was a woman, very famous woman who had to eat crow, who wrote like a blog post or an article about how outraged and immoral Steven Spielberg is for killing this poor innocent creature who happens to be a dinosaur.
Right, right.
But it's like, it has opened up social media and the internet, I think, has opened up the opportunity for more groupthink, which is both good and bad. I mean, it's obviously, if there's a great cause out there, you know, like, there was this one earlier, you know, late last year, the hashtag, I think it was the hashtag MeToo movement about
promoting that's going sexual, on now, even.
Oh, yeah, it's still going on. I think that's great. I think people who have done horrible things like that should be called out on it. And we've seen a lot of people, a lot of famous, you know, celebrities, politicians, what have you, get called out on it. And again, rightfully so. So there's some good that's come out of that. But then it's like, again, you have the situations like Steven Spielberg killing dinosaurs, where instead of, you know, you have some misinformation that's, you know, sent out, or information that's sent out as a joke, and then it gets blown up into this huge thing. And, you know, again, obviously, I think that's more of an extreme example, but it's just there. The accessibility like this allows more misinformation to get put out there and consumed to the point where, again, you can take anything and turn it in. You can take an opinion and turn it into fact if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
You just need to get enough people behind you and enough real evidence behind you to conform your opinion into a fact.
Yeah, right. And so on that same note, this is a little bit different than the dinosaur thing, but I remember a couple of years ago, the lottery was up really high.
Yeah.
Somebody started a post that said, there's 300 million people in America. The lottery is $300 million. So if we gave $1 million to every American, we could solve poverty. And thousands of people were sharing it, liking it, commenting. And I'm so sorry if you were one of the people that did this. But it basically just put on blast a whole bunch of people's stupidity, because let's just break this down for a second. There's 300 million individuals in America. The lottery was $300 million. So how many million is 300 million? 300. So if there's 300 people in America, we could give everyone $1 million. If there's 300 million people in America, everybody gets
$1.
So that I remember seeing that, and I just cracked up laughing, because there was people passionately posting on this about how, you know, there's people going hungry, there's, you know, kids that need adopted and all this kind of stuff. And I'm just like, guys, you're kidding me. Like you said, I mean, it's
a tool that can be used for good or bad, and that's a very distinct case of it being used for bad.
Mm-hmm. Right, absolutely.
Or at least ignorance. And I think that's the biggest thing, is that, you know, you've given a tool like the internet, social media, that has given everyone a platform.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like you have new YouTube stars coming out all the time.
All the time, yeah.
And I mean, they've become the new cable, where, you know, people, and especially, again, teenagers, they follow these people. They look up to them like celebrities. And, you know, there have been times where they've been put on blast. Like, I can't remember who it was. I want to say his name was, I think it was a YouTuber by the name of, his YouTube name was PewDiePie. And he does a lot of video game stuff. And I guess he got called out for making, like, a almost a Nazi-like, neo-Nazi-like statement, and he had to, you know, apologize. He made, like, some anti-Semitic joke or whatever. But, I mean, you have people like that on the internet. I'm not putting that guy on blast. I don't know the situation.
Yeah, right, right, right.
So I'm just not going to
sample.
Yeah, but it's like, again, even if, again, it's just I heard secondhand information through the internet, you know, and I didn't I didn't look it up. So that's right. Just an example right there of you hear a lot of secondhand information, and let's face it, most of us don't go to verify the source. We just don't have that time.
Yeah, you just either assume it's true, or if you're really if you're really skeptical, you just assume it's bull crap.
Yeah, exactly. Two. So, but again, you just have a platform now where anyone can voice their opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You get enough of those people together, all this, again, you just have this thing that it's a cycle that spirals down. Now, there is some good with that. Like, I know a lot of people who, when they start up businesses or what have you, they use social media and the internet to get the word out there. It's cheap, it's fast, and I think that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen people, say, hey, I've started a business, I made a Facebook page, come like it, share it, stuff like that, and I'm like, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You have something that you're very passionate about, you can share on there. Like, for us, one of the things is our church, Life Church has the Bible app where you can create verse images and then share it on your Instagram.
Right, right.
Your Facebook, and that's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Or if you want to show pictures of your new baby, you can share it with your family members who live, across the seas. Like, I have an aunt that, doesn't live very close to me, so she just had some twins, and I get to see pictures of them every time she posts them. It's like, I can't be there, but I can be with them in spirit, sort of thing. So it's like, you get that kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great seeing people's babies. After about the 100th picture, though, it's like, okay. Like, oh, here's my baby eating. Here's my baby eating again 2 hours later.
Here's my baby throwing up.
Here's me cleaning up my baby's throat. But yeah, no, I know what you mean, though. It's for sentimental stuff like that. And I mean, I'm sure you have, too. You've been able to reconnect with people from way back when, off Facebook, that you probably thought you'd never talk to again in your life.
Right, exactly.
Friends from, like, the third grade, it's like, I've come across several people on Facebook, that I went to school with in the second or third grade, and just, we don't talk or hang out anymore, but it's cool to be like, hey, how's life going for you?
Yeah, you rekindle that, you just catch up, like you said. I definitely think because of that also, I do think it can hurt relationship a little bit, where it's like, we've almost redefined what a friendship is, where it's basically, well, I've connected with you on Facebook, we're friends. I mean, even think about how it's permeated our culture, where it's like, a dating relationship for many people is not official until it's Facebook official.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. That was a cool feeling when I did that with my girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And, I'm not putting that down by any stretch of the imagination, but just to kind of use it as an illustration to show that's how much social media has moved its way into our relationships, where, it's almost like we're defined by what our Facebook is like, how many friends we have. And it's like, that's almost become, that's what friendship is now, is I've connected with you on social media.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I think one really interesting thing about Facebook and Snapchat even is, whenever, like on Facebook, you can pick and choose the little parts of your life that you share, obviously.
Right. Yeah.
Unless you're one of those people that just kind of gripes and complains about how bad their day is going, you're going to post good things.
Yeah.
Only the good things, the stuff that you want people to see, which isn't, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, that's what I do, mostly because I'm more of a private person. I only share more intimate details with those who I'm close to.
Yeah, right. And, but it's almost like, I don't know. It's almost like you can kind of pick. You can. It's like a way to put the best of yourself out there for other people to see without having to show anything else beneath that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not condemning Facebook. Obviously, it's successful. Mark Zuckerberg is one of the richest people on the face of the earth.
Yeah.
And I love Facebook, but I just think that is one interesting aspect in Snapchat. All the filters and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Which this may be reading into it too much, but there's a lot of the filters that make your face look really good.
Yeah, like it cleans it up.
Cleans it up, smooths your skin out, adds, detail to certain features and stuff. And I personally noticed that, a lot of people will post many more pictures like that than they will just their normal face.
Yeah.
And it's the same type thing. I mean, it's, again, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it or not wrong with it, but it's just, I don't know, it's just interesting.
Yeah, and I think really the conclusion that you can come to with this, at least from this discussion, I think, is between social media, the internet, smartphones, all of those tools that kind of work together in tandem, I think the conclusion you can come to is that that's just what they are, tools.
Mm-hmm.
They can be used for good or bad, depending on, you know, your intent and what you're doing. But I definitely think it's come to a point where that's definitely become a big part of our lives, bigger than I think anyone could really have imagined. I think it'll definitely be interesting to see in the next 5 to 10 years as technology continues to progress at the rate it has.
Right.
You know, like we've mentioned before, virtual reality. I mean, it's like they have virtual reality headsets for your phone now. You don't even need a TV or a game system.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, there's a few for like Samsung, I think.
Wow.
Where you just plug it into your phone and you go.
That's cool.
Put on the goggles, yeah. So it's definitely going to be interesting to see, especially as more people grow up on that, to see how society shifts, how you know, what level of influence that has. Because again, like I said, I don't want to be the crotchety old man that says technology is horrible. I think it's great. I wouldn't say I'm a tech nerd, but I'm definitely one of those people that I'll geek out over the new technology and stuff. Mm-hmm. Again, I own a smartphone. I have a big screen TV. I play video games. I have an Xbox One, so it's like I have a laptop. Again, that's what I'm using to record this right now. So
right.
It's like I'm definitely not anti technology. I believe we should all go back to the, you know, woods and cabins and stuff like that. But
gathering berries and nuts.
Yeah.
And shooting deer with homemade bow and arrows.
Yeah, but I mean, I would definitely say that I think it's something that people should definitely be aware of and watch as far as how much they let that influence how they interact with other people. I think that's the biggest concern of mine is how is this going to affect people in interpersonal relationships?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with you 100%.
Anything else you wanted to add before we conclude this episode?
No, I mean, I agree with you. I think just, I don't know. I'm still thinking about, you know, I just thought of this while you were saying that if I decide to get like an old-fashioned flip phone, it could be a cool thing if my girlfriend and I do it, perhaps blog about it. And obviously share my experiences on here because it would be kind of a cool experiment to see how it goes, you know.
No, I definitely think that would be interesting just to see, like, you know, how you notice things change in terms of how you interacted with each other.
Yeah.
You know, interacted, you know, with other people. Yeah, I think that'd be an interesting thing to hear about. I'd definitely be down for doing an episode on that.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I agree. Lots of apps that are so useful. I mean, I just downloaded an app a couple weeks ago, and it's a food app. It's called Emeals. And basically, you pick out the kind of food that you want to eat for that week, and it gives you, like, 7 meals and for the whole week, and you don't have to pick all of them, but you select the ones that you want to keep, and you can choose others as well, but to get your whole 7 meals worth, and then it will automatically make a grocery list for you.
Oh, awesome.
And then you go shop for those groceries, and you buy everything on the list, and you know you have everything for all 7 meals. It's really cool. And
yeah, that's helpful.
And it makes, I mean, it's like new, it's cooking stuff I've never cooked before.
Yeah.
So trying out some new cooking and all that stuff. So again, apps like that, so cool. You know, super thankful for technology, but it definitely has its negative effects, I feel like.
Yeah. I mean, I'm the same way. I use my FitnessPal app because I'm trying to lose weight right now, and that helps me document how much calories I've consumed a day. I have a, you know, certain amount that I try to stay around each day, and so it's like I can put, okay, here's what I ate for, you know, lunch, here's what I ate for dinner, and it really helped me in terms of seeing, oh, wow, I didn't realize how much I was consuming.
Right.
Just by eating this certain thing or how much, you know, I could consume of this one thing because it is light and, you know, salad. I didn't realize how low calorie that actually was.
Yeah.
Until, you know, especially because I'm a very visual driven person. So to see the actual calories that I consumed added up day after day, it really kind of helped put in perspective, okay, here's what I need to do to change and to fix. It helped me build a strategy in terms of how I was going to do that, plus my girlfriend helped me out with that as well. But yeah, I definitely would say that has helped improve my quality of living.
Yeah, oh yeah. And I mean, salads, it's light in calories and it's packed with actual nutrients, vitamin A, vitamin C.
Yeah.
It's like a budget for your food almost.
Yeah, yeah, that's a great way to put it.
You at the end of your month and you have no money left, you're like, where the heck is my money going? You go through and you find out where your money's going. It's the same with your food. You eat a whole bunch of food and you're like, man, what did I eat?
Yeah, yeah. there were some surprises the first month right? or so where I was just like, I didn't know that I was eating, you know, having 1,000 calories for, you know, lunch or whatever. And it's like, and most of it was just, I was, you know, not to get off on a tangent, but we're here. It was just, you know, most of it was, I was eating too much as opposed to the stuff I was eating. It's like, you know, I obviously didn't, you know, I wasn't like having, you know, cake or pie every day, but it was just, you know, instead of, you know, 2 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, maybe I only have one.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, maybe instead of having, you know, potato chips every day, I have popcorn.
Because mm-hmm.
that's a lot lower in calories.
Yeah, a little lighter.
It's still pretty filling in terms of a, you know, a side dish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just stuff like that. And it really helped.
Mm-hmm. I think we should do an episode on nutrition.
We should. We'll stay tuned. You know, stick around. And speaking of sticking around, as always, if you like what you hear, please subscribe to us on iTunes. You know, we're on there. Please rate, give us feedback, review. I've said in the past that I'm going to set up an email. I haven't done it yet. but I will definitely get around to that eventually. So that way, you know, people can start emailing us, give constructive feedback or questions, and then no hate mail. Right.
If it's a hate mail, expect a hate response. No, I'm just kidding.
We'll just have an auto response saying thank you for the reply. We put it in the trash can with the others.
You reached the rejection hotline.
Yeah. We'll have it set for keywords. Just look for anything that says you suck, any curse words, anything you like suck. That. We'll just have straight to the junk mail folder.
Do we have ratings yet?
I'm sorry, what?
Do we have ratings yet posted? Like actual like star ratings?
I don't think so. I haven't seen it, but again, I don't know how good iTunes is about updating
mm-hmm. right.
that, because it seems like their stats are very slow to refresh, right. So it could be we have ratings, but they just don't
just appear. Haven't made it through yet.
Yeah, so as always, everyone, thanks so much for listening, and we'll be back with another episode soon.
All right, thanks, guys.
Bye.